Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're growing a brand around your nerdy passion, you can learn from business and marketing podcasts, or you can learn from nerds like you. This is the show built by bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, artists, and other entrepreneurs that are making the things you love. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Welcome to episode 62 of the Entrepreneur Podcast by Under the Capes. I'm your host, Tim, and I have an awesome episode for you today. I'm speaking with Robin Bates from Coaching for Geeks, which is an awesome community and resource for anyone looking to level up their career, their geeky passion, their fitness, their dating, overall confidence, life skills, and it's all tailored towards other geeks like you. The Facebook community has over 1,000 people that are all offering advice and support for whatever your goals might be, and they gamify it. Robin does a great job of challenging you and speaking to the gamers and the geeks of the community in a way that makes it a little bit easier to approach your goals. And Robin is a life coach, a mentor. He has spoken at many conventions, been on various podcasts. The Coaching for Geeks podcast is currently archived, we'll say. But there are a ton of episodes over there offering very similar advice that I think you guys could get a lot out of. And they're now doing webinars. And recently, Robin launched the Coaching for Geeks Ultimate Nerd Formula course, which is a web course over 4 weeks that helps the students through networking, mindset, relationships, daily health, and it offers a ton of value. I first met Robin earlier in the summer as part of the Coaching for Geeks mentorship program. Robin offered a ton of help to me as I was looking to better focus the business, go after new guests. He was the major influence for me approaching Fan Expo Boston to do a panel, which had been a big dream and goal of mine for a long time that I'd been hesitant to take the plunge on, and am super happy I did, and that went off really well. And he has helped big time with my geek brand and my confidence levels, and has been a great coach in that respect. And I try to ask questions that everybody can benefit from. This we don't just turn this into a coaching session for me. We go into a ton of stuff in this episode. He talks about how to approach conventions and potential guests and ask for things and get to grow your business that way. The importance of consistency, targeting your ideal customer, which I think Coaching for Geeks really embodies, and a ton of other really great stuff for anyone trying to grow a geek brand. So let's dive right in. All right, so I'm now joined by Robin Bates from Coaching for Geeks. Robin, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Tim. It's an absolute pleasure. I've heard your dulcet tones many times, and now I get to interact with them. What a delight.
Yes, finally. So yeah, can you tell me a little bit about how you got started with Coaching for Geeks?
Sure. Coaching for Geeks is a confidence coaching consultancy for geeks and nerds and geek-adjacent folk. And I've essentially created something that I needed 20 years ago, growing up as a shy, introverted geek kid in the 80s in rural UK. Not a lot to do. My best friend was my Spectrum 48K, then my Commodore Amiga, then my Super Nintendo, and so the pattern continued rather than learning social skills, rather than getting out and hanging out with other kids. I just wanted to stay home and play computer games, play video games. And it wasn't until I got to university that I realized I was kind of lacking the ability to engage without being drunk and or a bit high, which turns out is not the way to get ahead in life. So didn't finish university, high school dropout, outrageous. And then that carried on throughout my 20s, drinking and drugs, until I realized I needed to make a change and started looking into self-help. And the internet was still quite young, which gives my age away a little bit. But my local library had some great books. There were some local courses and classes that I attended. And from that point, my confidence has just grown and grown. And in the last year, I've had diagnoses of ADHD and also ASD. And I've gone, ah, shit, that explains an awful lot about who I am and where I've come from. All the anxiety, all the difficult times, all the awkward social interactions that I blame myself for. It's just my brain's a bit different. I've got superpowers. And it wasn't until years later, I progressed in my professional life, climbed the corporate ladder from the bottom rung right to the top, and I took what I thought was the next most sensible job for me. Directorship, and I fell apart because I hadn't really paid attention to my values and what was important to me at that point. This seemed a logical next step, and no, it was not. And I declared that I was leaving London forever. I was going to go and live in Devon, like Poldark, and walk on the moors with a dog, stroke my beard in the drizzle, staring at the crashing waves. It was all very melodramatic. And so people went, hey, all that coaching that you do with your teams, all that amazing success, all that stuff that you've been teaching us, why don't you do something with that? And so Coaching for Geeks wasn't born at that point. Robin Bates Life Coaching was born at that point. And it's probably an important lesson for your entrepreneur listeners. Nobody gives a shit about you. They give a shit about what you can do. What can you do for them? It wasn't until we became Coaching for Geeks that people got it. People knew, hey, here's a place for me to go and learn stuff and become more awesome.
Yeah, because I think there's definitely, like, the stigma has dropped a little bit where people are more open. Everybody's more open to, you know, maybe some therapy, some life coaching, and, like, everybody can benefit from it. But instead of Robin Bates Life Coach versus Coaching for Geeks kind of puts you in a specific bucket where, like, I can talk to these specific people and I can help these specific people, whereas I think that differentiates you and adds to the value of what you're able to do.
Sure. And I can communicate in the right way with my people because I am my people. That's a weird sentence. But I'm one of us as well. I'm excited. This will give the date away, but the Star Wars trailer just dropped and tickets for PAX East are about to go on sale. And I'm just, yes, all things are happening. And I can talk about that with my tribe and they get excited too. It's, you know, it's not a safe space. It's a brave space. We're not here to bitch and moan about life. We're here to take action and get things done and take the next step. And that's a real key difference between when I pitch myself as a life coach as being a confidence coach for geeks and nerds.
That's what I think is a big key to your growing your community, because I was listening to a Pat Flynn podcast the other day, or a webinar, and he was helping podcasters with their brand, and he was like, all right, send me your podcast ideas. And there was like a farm to table podcast, there was a gaming podcast, which was good to see. There was, you know, a million different things, so it was all kind of like, oh, that's cool, like, good for you. Whereas
everyone who shares in yours is like, everyone is actually interested in it versus like, oh yeah, good for you. Like,
yeah, it's people, half of the people in my group and half of the people who I work with, probably I wouldn't say, oh yeah, that's a geek, that's a nerd, but they get what we do. They like what we do and they like the messaging. They like the memes and they like the authenticity and the ridiculousness and the excitement over Switch Ring Adventure, Ring Fit Adventure, and dressing up as a goose because it's funny and all that kind of stuff. And they come along for the ride. I think if you figure out who your ideal client customer is and really nail it down, really drill down into who they are, what their name is, how old are they, where do they live, where do they spend their money, what do they do with their time, then you can really nail that messaging for that one person. So mine's called Chris. He's 30. He lives in East London, a bit further out than he'd like to, but he's not earning enough money because he's not learned how to play the social game of work. So he's not climbed the ladder at work far enough. And you've really drilled down that far and you aim everything at Chris. And everybody gets that. Everybody understands that your core message is clear. And then, hey, we're talking through Coaching for Geeks and you're not Chris, but you get it. But the cosplayers I work with, they're not Chris, but they get it. The drag queens I've been working with, they're not Chris, but they get it too. I've leapt to the key message for your listeners, but nailing who your single ideal client is, it's changed everything for me, and I've seen it change everything for other people I work with too.
Yeah, because not only does that allow you to specifically target your messaging, whether it's, you know, what you're writing on the blog or your About Us page or any of that, but it also lets you know where to go to find the rest of your Chris's.
Yeah, 100%. I know that my Chris's tend to be on Twitter. They tend to be at Comic-Cons, and most of them are on Facebook as well. So we have a big presence on Twitter. We do a lot of public speaking and events at Comic-Con. If we're not speaking at Comic-Con, we'll go as press to report on it. We'll take loads of pictures of cosplayers and post a gallery so they can come and get their pics for free. And we have a Facebook group, and that's where I'm aiming my content. That's where I'm finding most of my Chris's.
Yeah. You mentioned doing those events because you panel at a lot of conventions. You're doing press at a lot of conventions. What's the, like, how have you gotten into so many conventions like that and gotten those kind of opportunities?
I asked. It's as simple as that. Shy kids don't get candy. And last week, or the week before, when I was preparing for EGX, big gaming convention here in the UK, I was on or hosting 5 panels, and I really needed some guests for one of them. And I was pitching and pitching and pitching to people. I was sending very charming, very delightful and whimsical emails to quite big YouTubers saying, hey, come and play my stupid games. I got rejected 16 times in one day. And people go, oh my God, how do you cope with that? Well, that's just part of life. The more you get used to being rejected, the easier things get. So 17 and 18 said yes, they wanted to come and play my games, and they were quite big names. And then the next 3 or 4 said no. And then number 24 was yes. I've got, yes, we've got everyone. Writing a compelling pitch to Comic-Con isn't that hard. Give them something that resonates with their audience. Give them something that is interesting and useful. You know, I could pitch networking for nerds to PAX, but they're probably not going to go for it because that's not very interesting. That's been done. But you could dress that up, or you could find that niche. Networking for cosplayers, they might go for that. because that's probably not been done. And that's an interesting niche and a different angle. And cosplayers probably really find that useful. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Doom, would you find that? You're probably good at this already.
No, it's definitely something I got to get better at, is, you know, actually getting the name out there, and, you know.
You did was it LeakyCon?
At Fan Expo Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a situation. I asked a lot of people to be on it, because what you had said beforehand, one of the big barriers that I had to submitting a panel was, well, I'm not really sure who would be on it, and, you know, not really sure if I could get anyone in time. And you had said you submitted a panel recently before I did that you didn't have anyone lined up for, and that seems pretty common for those. And then you just trust that you'll be able to find people, and you send out 30 invites, and you get enough people on, and, you know, you gotta get the yes from the convention, and then it starts to go from there.
Yeah, exactly. It's imperfect action is brilliant. You're never going to be perfect. There's no such thing. Chasing it will kill you and waste so much time. So just say yes to things and then figure out how you'll do it along the way. Because if you want it, you'll figure it out. And there's a wealth of people out there who will help you. For example, a group like Coaching for Geeks, which is full of wonderful people who will help you. Well, I have a coach myself who I turn to. He's obviously much more successful and experienced than me. And if I have a wobble going, oh, fuck, I don't really know what I'm doing, or I really need to get some guests, I go, hey, Dan, I'm struggling, help. And that's what I pay my coach for, to help out. And he's got a network. Or he'll tell me, hey, stop being, I'm going to use his words now, you might have to edit it. Mm-hmm. Hey, stop being such a minge bag, send some emails out to some people and you'll have a panel.
I'm not sure that's a swear in the US. So. I'm like, do I need to edit that out?
No, I don't know. Hey, listeners at home, try adopting minge bag as your new curse word.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, the value of a coach and the value of the Coaching for Geeks community is on your Facebook page. You now have such a, like, you're not the only one doing the coaching anymore. You've got a team and you've got the overall community doing it. And there's a whole section offering coaching for just anybody who needs coaching, anybody who feels like they can offer coaching. Like, so the whole community is kind of rising itself up.
Yeah, sure. There's the mentorship program, which is built into Facebook groups now. And I think there's 27 people offering mentorship in everything from crochet and knitting to copywriting, Facebook ads, all sorts of stuff. Chainmail, like art, the sort of calligraphy. If you're looking for someone to help you learn something, there's somebody in there who'll be able to teach you. And these people are offering their time freely as well. So it's great that it's got the real community vibe and everyone's really looking out for each other. And that's something I'm really proud of, that we've been able to cultivate that community feel. And it wasn't always like that. At one point it was the Robin show. It was just felt like it was me speaking into the void and occasionally getting a like, or gifts didn't even exist on Facebook back then, or maybe a meme in response. But it's grown, and it's taken time, effort, and consistency to get there.
Yeah. When did you notice the change, or was it just kind of gradual? Was there any one thing that helped it turn from you talking to a group into an actual community?
There was a point where I felt like setting the whole thing on fire and just walking away. Just going, fuck this. I've had enough. This is too much hard work. And it would have been probably about 2 years ago. It'll be coming up for 4 years. We've been running the group in February, March of 2020. And I thought, I'm going to give it one last shot. I'm going to try and gamify the group. I created a series of achievements. People had to register to be part of the achievement beta test. And there were things like answer somebody's question, contribute to a discussion, post something awesome that you've done. There were 25 different achievements. And I got a kids sticker chart, wall chart. I wrote everyone's names on them. And everyone reported in every day with their achievements. And I stuck gold stars on this damn chart for them to win. Whoever got 40 achievements first got a prize. It was like a T-shirt and some Steam keys and some badges and stickers. It wasn't a great deal, but people will do a lot for bragging rights and some stickers. And this just changed everything almost overnight. A core group really got on board with this and ran with it, and they wanted to win. And that turned it from a barren wasteland to a chatty, vibrant community. And now those people have taken them on as part of my team.
Yeah, you started to finally work towards your audience. They're gamers. You gamified the group.
Yeah, exactly. Give them what they want so that you can give them what they need. The second thing we did was a level up challenge, which was an interactive adventure where they picked one thing they would do for 1 hour a day. No, it was 30 minutes a day, every day for 30 days. And every day they checked in, they earned a cumulative point total. At the end of each week, there was a boss. And if they'd earned enough points between them, they would take down the boss. They would add prizes to a prize pool. And whoever had built up the longest streak over the 30-day period would be entered into a prize draw to win the prizes. And it was things like we had a Super Nintendo Mini, and we contacted people to get prizes. There was some pretty cool stuff in there. And this, it's a case of try something without really knowing what you're doing and see what happens. And it became a multi-threaded adventure, which they made choices and the branch split. And I had to create multiple posts each day for these multiple groups. Never split the party. What's wrong with you? They split the party. And I had to write for both elements of the party. And that was a crazy 30 days that almost burnt me out. But it's something we're going to do again with a little more planning. They were fighting Nega Robin by the end of it, which was my evil alter ego who took over my main Facebook profile and wore a crown and had lasers shooting out of his freaking eyes. And dolphins were exploding. It was bonkers.
You were DMing for a group of like 50 people?
Pretty much. And they only got to have their say if they did the 30 minutes to build up their one stat. And people were learning guitar, people doing exercise, people were writing, people achieved so much. And it just proves you can get more done in 30 minutes than you give yourself credit for. And consistency in any of your actions, whether you're wanting to get fit or grow your nerdy business, consistency, putting the time in every day.
Yeah, I guess what were the common, you know, 30-minute-a-day things, or what more specifically for someone trying to build a geek brand would you recommend if they were to do their own, like, 30-day challenges? What do you think 30 minutes a day would be best spent?
It really depends on the business and how far along growing that business they are. So for me right now, it's all about brand awareness, growing the brand. So coming and pitching to podcasts. Hi, thanks for having me. Pitching to Comic Cons, pitching your business wherever it needs to be, creating memes, marketing materials, generating all your social media content. For me, because I have a group, I have to show up daily. So that 30 minutes would be spent interacting with my group, getting them to make sure they know, like, and trust me, onboarding the new people and getting ideas for new content from them, finding out what they want so that you can give them what they need. For somebody like you, if you were growing the podcast, then I would be generating more like quote cards and images from the show, so that you can point people back at old content. Hey, Robin said this stupid thing. Find out what it means by clicking here. I've seen you've done that with a few of the snippets from the shows, and that has piqued my interest. I would do a lot more of that if I was you.
Yeah, it's been sporadic so far.
This isn't going to turn into a coaching session.
They're all coaching sessions for me. This is the whole reason for the podcast.
What a great podcast. This is my turn to pick you up. You get some great guests. And there's so many people out there doing nerdy stuff. Ask Steve Cambon from Nerd Fitness.
Oh, yeah. That could be a good one.
He's a nice guy. I've chatted with him on Twitter. Yeah. And he's done everything that I want to do. That prick's done first. And he's a nice guy as well. It's just not fair. I can't hate him.
It's good to have that someone just one more rung up than you to keep someone to strive for.
Yeah, no, he's inspirational.
Nice. And yeah, it definitely it's funny, you know, not being a coaching session because that's kind of how I met you was through your mentorship program. So that's that was the dynamic to this point.
Yeah, but now I'm your guest, so I've got to behave by your rules now.
Yes, exactly. The tables have turned. but yeah, the main focus of your mentorships have been on confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Confidence is not the be-all and end-all, but I see so many competent people who lack the confidence to go after the things that they should be going after. Competence without confidence is just complete wasted potential. There are people out there doing the things you want to do, earning the money you want to earn, gaining the clients you want to gain, and I'm going to be vulgar, fucking the people you want to fuck just because they've got the confidence to go out there and ask for it. It's almost like a muscle that you have to grow and develop. It doesn't come naturally to a lot of us, especially in the geeky world. I feel like we turn to our geeky passions and loves because we use it as an escape from the real world. For me, it was video games. They have structure and rules that you do cause and effect. You do something, you know what's going to happen as a result. It's probably why I don't play online. D&D, okay, the rules are there to be bent and crafted, and you might not know what's going to happen, and you are at the mercy of the dice, but you know how combat will work. And if I cast grease on the floor there, it will become slippy. Sorry, I've gone off on a little geeky rant. And we like this escapism because the real world is scary and full of the unknown, and so we hide from it. But you have to engage with it. You have to interact with it. You have to grow your comfort space, your comfort bubble, because it is closing in on you. And if you don't push against it constantly, it will close right in on you and suffocate you until you end up a fat old racist shouting at Fox News on the sofa eating nothing but pizza when there's a whole world out there to be explored full of geeky treats. Go on holiday, go on vacation, go and explore other countries, go to Disneyland Paris, even though it's a bit crap, go to Dubai and go to Movie Land, go do stuff, for the love of God. There's never been a better time to be a geek. There's so much out there for us. There's comic cons, there's theme parks, there's festivals, there's adventures, there's LARPs, there's all of this stuff. And there's too many people not going out there and doing it because they're just too scared to go out and face the real world. I'll stop there.
That's what you made the D&D reference, and it is kind of like, it's easier to be confident in that situation because you know, and do some crazy stuff and try crazy things because you know secretly the dungeon master wants you to succeed and, you know, is going to make, and that's kind of, and then people think the real world is the opposite where, you know, secretly everything is against you, and if you try something, it's not going to work. You know, if you reach out to someone you want to be a guest on your podcast, or you reach out to a convention you want to host a panel at, they're going to just shut you down because that's how the world works, where maybe that could happen, and it does a lot, but that's not, it's not going to kill you. And for the most part, more people are willing to help you out and, you know, give you an opportunity like that.
Yeah, people on the whole are surprisingly good. If you ask for help, people more often than not will give that to you, because not necessarily because they're good people. They might be selfish, and it's just about that dopamine hit that you get from helping someone else. And that's fine. But the more you get used to asking people for things, whether it's for that sale, some help, to be your mentor, to come on your show, to let you run something at Comic-Con, the better you get at it and the more likely it is to happen. It's a numbers game. Most things in life are a numbers game. The more jobs you apply for, the more likely you are to get called in for an interview. The more interviews you attend, the more likely you are to be successful at one. And the more feedback you get from the failures, the more you can craft and hone what you're doing to make it better. Like in video games, you know, you've played Super Mario Bros, right?
Of course.
Have you ever died on that first Goomba?
Doesn't everybody?
Right. And that's how you learn. You go, right, I shouldn't run into these things, even though they look like weird owl guys. They look quite friendly because they kill you. I'll jump over it. And sometimes you'll land on it. Killed it. And then you fall down that hole and get right. Avoid the holes as well. Jump earlier. You learn from your failures, and you don't have to die to do it in real life, which is pretty good.
Yeah, you can. Your body can take a lot of failures before.
Yeah. It's the brain that you've got to take care of, though. If you start taking the failures personally, then you can mess your brain up, and it's just that you're not the right thing for that person at that time, and that's okay. If they don't want you, there's a reason for that. If you can find out what it is, then you can either adapt what you're offering, or you can go, do you know what? What I've got for you isn't right for what you're looking for. There are cons that I've applied to that have just said, no, we don't do that sort of thing. That's absolutely fine. There are other ones who were sending me emails going, hey, can you come and do that sort of thing? The more you do it, the more you get known, the easier it gets. And it becomes this virtuous cycle of learning and growth and failing and succeeding. And it's all the big mishmash of string that doesn't make sense. If you watch the Good Place, it's a bit Jeremy Bearmy.
I know. I hear from too many people that I got to start watching that one.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And if I get you on my panel at PAX East, we might touch on it. So you need to brush up.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Because it's always, it didn't seem like a Comic-Con type geek show until it's just at every Comic-Con. And like, okay. So this is our wheelhouse type show.
Yeah. It's surprisingly nerdy in the way that community okay. was for us. It's more clever than it lets on.
Nice. And yeah, so you're also putting together some like programs and talks about confidence and making money from your geeky blog or stream or podcast. How have those been coming together?
Yeah, sure. That one will have passed by the time this goes out. However, the video will be up in the Coaching for Geeks Facebook group. We figured there's all these skills out there and all these people, as my network has grown professionally, I've encountered all these people who can teach you how to do Facebook ads, can teach you how to make memes, can teach you Canva, can teach you how to properly wield a sword. So I'm pulling them in. We'll do one a month to start with, to do live trainings, just a Facebook Live, something very simple. Conversation between me and the trainer, and a bit like you, it's me seeking mentorship for a lot of the things that I need to learn. So the one we've got next week is how to make money from your blog or podcast, and it's all about affiliate sales. And doing it in a legal way, in an ethical way, in a way that's not going to piss off your clients, your customers, your viewers, your readers. Here in the UK, we've got some very strict laws around it with the Advertising Standards Agency, and you can get massive fines if you don't do hashtag ad after your tweets that are an ad. And there's so many people in the community running blogs and streams and podcasts. Why not? It's something they can learn. It's some extra value free of charge to the people in there. Lots of people are joining the group just to get that piece of content. So that's another way you can grow your audience. Collaborations with other people can be really powerful. Not only can you learn from them, but you're sharing each other's content. So, hey, some of my group are probably going to come and listen to this, and some of your listeners might hop on what I'm doing. Share and share.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the best ways that you've gotten the Coaching for Geeks brand out there. Is in addition to getting to a lot of conventions, you've also been on a lot of podcasts and other shows, and those collaborations seem like a key element of getting the brand out there.
Yeah, having grown quite a large social media following, people want me to come on their stuff and then share that I've been on it. And they tend generally see a bit of an uptick in listens on the week that I've been on, just because I'm sharing it and I've got, 40,000 on Twitter. I've been on Twitter a long time and I share a lot of stuff. We also used to have our own podcast, which we might resurrect at some point. For one crazy weekend, two summers ago, we were in the top five in the UK. Just the stars aligned. We shared it with the right people. They shared it. It went a little bit, not a full-on viral influenza, but a minor sniffle viral around the UK geek community. Like, what the hell? We're right next to My Dad Wrote a Porno. That's ridiculous. Top tip for podcasters, don't put any swear words in your show notes. We started a new segment called The Bitch and Stitch, which was a cosplay section, and we got our RSS fees cut on Apple for having the word bitch in there, which kind of lost me my audience overnight. So we went, hilariously, on episode 69, we went, well, sod that. It'll come back some other time.
Let the heat die down a little bit and then dive back in. Yeah, because 69 episodes, it's a pretty good run.
Yeah, we had some great guests as well. Again, just by asking, Quinn's from Shut Up and Sit Down, huge board gaming site here in the UK. They run Shucks over in Canada, the board gaming convention. Who else do we have? I can't even remember. It's been a long time now. We had some amazing guests. Caught them on a good day, sent them an email, went, hey, love what you're doing. It was a little bit cheeky. Include a picture of an animal with a hat or something. Get their attention, keep it. And, if a quarter of the people you ask say yes, then you're doing something right. And there's only so many hours in the day to be recording podcasts.
Yeah, and I think that's something you helped with me, was getting that right messaging down for whether you're asking to be to have a guest on your podcast, to be a guest on a podcast, getting that messaging down to convey, the fact that you're not a dick, the fact that you'd bring value to whatever, they'd get some value back out of whatever the ask is. Getting that messaging down for whatever you're asking is important.
People are too serious in their professional communications. To stand out, you need to be quirky. Bring your personality, bring what you're about. Let them know that, hey, well, we'll have a good time doing this, and also I'm going to share the shit out of it, and also your listeners are going to like what I've got to say. Seriously, pictures of animals in hats, people love it. that I've got. I've got into press events. I've had free stuff sent to me for review. Animals in hats all the way.
Or something like that. You don't want to steal your guy.
I don't care. Send more people animals in hats. There was a zombie event, and we got in because I sent them a zombie cat. And also, I was sick at the time. I was like, oh, I feel like a zombie cat. And I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, of course you can come to our zombie event. Nice. It's crazy. Animals in hats.
That's the secret sauce. So what else do you have coming down the pipeline? I know you said you're going to start doing these monthly Facebook Live events. You've got a ton of panels coming up. What else is coming down the line?
We're writing some courses at the moment for people who don't want to invest in one-to-one time with me or can't currently afford it or would rather take things at their own pace. Rather than having me going, hey, have you done the thing? Why haven't you done the thing? If you don't do the thing, I'm going to be very cross with you. I'm not cross with you. I'm just disappointed. Come on, do the thing. We're writing some online content that will be lower cost, more accessible, and we'll take people through some of the steps of growing your confidence. The aim being to build a core quest, a confidence quest that will take people through a number of missions and quests to grow and develop their confidence. And then we'll offer paid DLC. So if you want it in a particular specific area, then you can, you know, there's no point buying the cosplay module if all you want is the pitching to podcasts section. So that's in progress. The book should come out next year, he says, pulling a face. The book that I've written a huge amount of, honest, boss. I'm going to be in trouble with my coach. And we're also, I'm not sure I'm allowed to talk about this, but sod it. We have a section on the website called Roleplay Gourmet, which is written by a great guy, Paul Flannery. He runs a stage show called the MMORPG Show, where he plucks people from the audience and takes them on an adventure. It's like a live D&D session, but utterly ridiculous over the space of an hour. He writes Roleplay Gourmet, which has an ongoing story. We've got looking for my XP sheets that used to be on the fridge. It's a downloadable skill sheet and character sheet. You colour in the blocks as you cook certain recipes and learn your knife skills. And that, depending on what foods you cook and what skills you use, that shows what character you become. We've had the go-ahead to turn it into a live stage show next year. We haven't decided how that's going to happen yet, but you heard it here first. Roleplay Gourmet live at the Vault Festival, February 2020.
Awesome. Eek. Yeah, I was going to say, just from like moving from one-to-one coaching to courses and a book is hitting like all the different ways people like to consume that content, but a stage show is really hitting every way.
Yeah, let's just go for all angles and see what sticks. Yeah. Fortunately, with the stage show, I don't have to do a lot for it. I've got the audience. He's got an audience. Between us, we can craft something which is part stage show, part learning, and everybody gets some food out of it as well. It's almost like a dinner theatre. Let's turn it into a murder mystery as well. No. Too big. Too big. That's when the ADHD becomes a curse rather than a blessing. Go, right, let's do all of these things as well. And then go, shit, how do I actually implement that? Keep it simple. Lots happening with Coaching for Geeks next year. Long term, I'd like to get a London HQ with a hireable workspace. I know WeWork's kind of going down the pan at the moment, so we will come in to fill that gap with hireable streaming space, workspace, event space, so that I can run these events in-house. We can beta test things before taking them to the theatres. I can try out my video games in real life without injuring anyone. all of that good stuff. And then I'd like to open centers overseas as well, across the UK and overseas, train up good people to do what I'm doing, because I'm only one man. Sure, a dashing and capable man, but I'm only one man. And I need help.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what a lot of that stuff seems to be kind of. It's you're at the point where it can't just be you. I mean, you already have a team, but you need like the courses and the book and all that stuff can be very scalable to an infinite number of people where it's not dependent on the size of the team.
Yeah, if we've got core content that can be delivered by somebody who has been approved and trained by me or the team, then that would be the ideal situation. We've got the brands spreading out, and then I get to travel and visit them all and see how everyone's doing, and finally do my theme park road trip of the USA.
That's what it's the excuse just to hit all the Universals and Six Flags.
I really wanted to go to Cedar Point.
Yeah, same. That's a big one on the list.
All right, you and me, 2 years' time, we're going to Cedar Point on my road trip.
Done. Awesome. This has been great, Robin. Do you have one final piece of advice for someone just building a geek brand?
The one piece is, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is shy kids don't get candy. Whether it's Halloween or you've just smashed open a pinata or you're asking for guests or you're asking for a sale, asking for someone to buy your thing, you've got to make that available to them. You've got to ask. If you don't ask, you won't get. So ask. And if you have to ask 100 people before you get that one yes, that's okay. As long as you learn from each of those no's. Shy kids don't get candy.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's just putting yourself out there and going after the opportunities you see and being available to the opportunities that come across. That's what it's all about.
Yep. If you don't do it, nobody else will. Well, they will, and they'll be stealing your clients.
And, Get to it. You'll see them doing it and wonder why.
Yeah. Been there. We all have.
Awesome. Yeah. Where should people go to follow you and join the Coaching for Geeks community?
Join the Coaching for Geeks community. It's on Facebook. It's very easy to find. It's Coaching for Geeks. Just search for that. Or hit cfgshortcut.com. That will take you directly to the group. We've also got the website, Coaching for Geeks. You find me on Twitter at Coaching Geeks. There's no room for the four. The podcast is still downloadable. It's called Coaching for Geeks. Basically, stick Coaching for Geeks into any browser of any sort, and we're very easy to find.
That's good branding. All right, Robin, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's been a delight. Thank you for having me. It's good to speak with you. Wish you all the best with the podcast, and I expect to see huge things from you in the next year so that we can go to Cedar Point.
Yes, I gotta earn it myself. I can't do a world theme park tour without a reason.
Right, I'll be watching.
Yeah. There you have it, guys. My talk with Robin from Coaching for Geeks. This was a really great discussion. I think the thing that bears repeating again is shy kids don't get candy. So I have two things that goals for you to accomplish this week. So the first, I think, would be to join the Coaching for Geeks community on Facebook. They are an excellent resource, and everyone there fits in perfectly. If you're listening to this show, it fits in perfectly with what your journey is. It's other geeks, you know, trying to accomplish their goals and supporting each other along the way. I think you can get a lot out of it. And the other is to go out there and ask for something. If you have
a goal that you've been kind of putting off or not sure if you'll be able to figure it out. Shy kids don't get candy. Get out there, get moving on it, you know, ask the people that can help you with it, and get started with it. Cause I think you'll be surprised at how easy it is to get some help and to get the ball rolling on whatever it is, that you're trying to do. You can check out all of Robin's stuff at coachingforgeeks.com. And I have to apologize to you and to Robin. The Ultimate Nerd Formula course registration just recently closed. I wasn't able to get this episode up in time to give you a chance to register for that. So I would keep an eye out on the community. I'm sure he's going to be doing more courses in the future. There'll be the monthly webinar. So I definitely, if that seemed like something that you could benefit from, which I think it could be, definitely keep an eye on the community and hopefully get in there for the next semester of that course. So I hope you guys got a lot out of this. If you did, please reach out and let me know. And I'll include links to everything we discussed in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode62. And until next time, get out there and get working on your geek passion. Thanks. Thanks so much for listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast by Under the Capes. I hope this episode has helped motivate you to either start or grow your geek brand. If you liked the episode, I would love if you could give us a rating and a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening from. And feel free to connect with us on social media, on Twitter at Under the Capes, on Facebook at Under the Capes, and on Instagram at Under the Capes Cosplay. Thanks so much, and have a great day.